What type of candy you having at your house so I know whether to come by?
You know what? I think Rhonda is picking it up today. I'm not quite sure what she'll end up with. We usually are rushing around at the last minute on stuff like that.
Okay, so but I can get at least Reese's Cup, right?
I don't know about it. Might be the little ones. Might be the tiny ones.
I like the little ones.
You know, those,
that's fine.
Those work.
Yeah, yeah. I've got no problem with that.
What's left over, I'll work with. Hey, so now the last two times I've come over, I've come on the scene of accidents. A month ago, it was on Crab Orchard Lake. This morning, it was over at Murdale.
Right.
Maybe next time I should call in.
I know, and I had a listener texting.
I heard as I was coming over.
As you were getting through.
Yeah.
So what President Randy Dunn is joining us in the studio today is referring is Route 13 road blocked by Walgreens and Turley Park for accident. I received that note at 8:04. Hopefully it's a little freer now.
Cleared out.
So they caught the pooper yet?
The last word I heard was no.
Okay.
That's still an open investigation, so to speak.
Good.
This is going to be an interesting day when we start with this story.
Well, my first thought is let's get it done and get it behind us.
So to speak. Well,
you just glossed right over that. That was a
I'm going to. That's good. Exactly right. All you can do is shake your head at that stuff. It's like, okay, there's one more SIU story.
See, and I'll bet you this is one of the occasions, I bet more than once a week this happens, and you go that, and you go, you know, we really don't need this.
That would be sometimes about once a day.
Some type of connotation.
Yes.
Right? I saw the stories about the cheerleaders, and I'm like,
right.
And I saw the poopers. I was like,
right.
You get, where your shoulders drop, and you here you are
I will admit to that, yes. And what was wild, and of course, as soon as I saw the article, which the first one that we're aware of appeared in the Belleville paper.
Belleville
that
News was Democrat
very, yes,
was the first one
first
I saw.
Appearance
All the
of that
St.
Article.
Louis radio stations reached out to me immediately.
Yes. Yes.
And I said, no comment.
So as I was saying, you know, as that started to hit the press was, just wait, because within a day this will be a national story. I said, if not in the regular press, certainly will be in the trade press for higher ed, and then from there it goes to the late night comics and everywhere else.
Miami Herald was the farthest one I saw.
New York Post had it.
Did it?
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Absolutely.
Great.
Yeah. So
awesome.
Then, if it's in the New York press, you figure, okay, some comedian's going to pick that up and go with it. Although I haven't seen anything yet, maybe we'll dodge that bullet.
Right. So now that we've got that behind us,
thank you.
Change is hard.
Yes, it is.
All right. Now, and what's interesting I would think that this has got to be
this is
going to
be the theme today, isn't it?
Well, we're going to be. I think this will be frustrating for you that people can't equate the need for change as to why we change, and that how dire the need is, and that we have a tendency not to really ignore math. We have a tendency to ignore math and go with the way we feel and going, look, I feel the very same way, but we can't afford it. We have to make changes, and getting people through that funnel, I guess, is something that you're gaining a lot of experience. And I knew that the new chancellor is too.
Right, he's in the deep end of the pool right now, no doubt. You know, I had a professor one time. One of the things I really remember from my own graduate education said that people really are driven by three things in making decisions or deciding how they move forward on new issues and that type of thing. One is information. You hope, you know, that would be the basis a lot of times, data,
right,
for how you decide things and make a decision on what to do moving forward. Another is ideology, and a third is interest. And we've probably got all of those things in play right now as the Carbondale campus has to come together and decide how they move forward to remodel, re-engineer, re-envision that campus. The chancellor has put forth a plan which he was called upon to do. There is no doubt about that, because what's there right now is not sustainable for a variety of reasons. That's a whole show, and we've talked about this before. But the current model, unless we pick up 5,000 students tomorrow, can't be sustained. So the chancellor has jumped in. He's put forth a new plan, a new model that he thinks is a good approach that's workable for the future, takes advantage of the strengths that are there, will help build enrollment, gets people of similar disciplines together with, you would hope, some synergy that comes out of that, and we'll see where that goes over these coming weeks.
Seven departments he wanted to do away with? Was it seven?
Well,
seven colleges?
Yeah, essentially the structure is changing from a departmental-based structure where every discipline is a department within like-related colleges to something that sets up a series of schools that puts together, and again, this is a simplistic way to describe it, but may push together academic disciplines that are more broadly intertwined, with the hope that you get people out of silos working more closely together, that generates new interests, new research, things of that nature. And I will say this, though, Tom, I do think as I talk to many people on the campus or they're approaching me with thoughts and opinions, I really do think on the whole, and this goes back to something else I learned in graduate school, it's called Pareto's optimality. It means you're only going to get 80% of the people for anything. I don't care what it is. You're always going to have 20% that are hanging out there. Say the world's flat and the moon's made of green cheese.
Right.
And I'll tell you what, in my life experience, I have kind of come to believe that.
The 20% portion?
That 20% portion. So if you get to Pareto's optimality, 80%, and I do think the campus is there, saying what we have cannot be what we continue to do for the future because it's not going to right the campus. It's not going to get the ship going in the right direction, given the challenges that it faces right now. So I really think there's an awareness that something has to change. A new model, a plan, an approach has to go forward. The discussion now that we're in the thick of at the campus level, led by the chancellor's proposal that he's put forward, is what should the nature of that plan be? If you go a certain direction, what are the potential gains to be made? What do you give up? If you look at another direction, same questions get asked. And the campus is in the thrall of having that discussion right now. And the chancellor set forth a very aggressive timeline because he understands, rightly so, that the problems are there. They're looming over us. It's not something that we necessarily have 3 or 4 years to debate about.
Right.
At the same time, you don't want to do something where the baby gets thrown out with the bathwater. So it's a very critical time. It's a transitional time for the campus. I do think people are highly engaged. You don't have folks sitting on the sidelines at this point, and it's going to move pretty quickly to decide what is the approach going forward to really strengthen SIU Carbondale.
Well, because I don't think you talked about how people make decisions. I think the operative word would have been how they should make decisions. Information, data, right?
Yes, yes.
Because people do things. Tom Miller's book, Rule for Life, book number rule number three. People do things for two reasons: the good reason and the real reason.
Yes.
And when you distill that down, is that without question, each time, with the rare exception of altruism, people do things because it's what they want.
Well, that's all right.
Self-interest is the ruling guidance for all human behavior.
Yes, absolutely. There's no doubt about that.
And I think right now you see that in its form right now. And what's interesting is when I've talked to some of the students and about what they want, and they say, it's my money.
Yes.
And seeing you and I have talked about the customer thing, but still, on the other hand, you've got to have a practical business plan that ensures that institution is there, no matter how anybody feels about it. You got to think about it. You got to have data. We need the school that does a lot of valuable things, and that funnel narrows.
That's right. But remember, this is a human capital enterprise, and really every business and company is.
I mean, it really is, isn't it?
Yeah, we're past the day of thinking that even heavy industrial concerns aren't tied closely to human capital.
Right.
But if there is an organization that as much as anything is driven by the strength of human capital, it is education. It is a school or a university. I will say this. I agree with you totally. But I also have one of my rules that says, you can really look at a variety of organizational structures to get done. It comes down to the strength of the people, the individuals who populate that human capital organization. So I don't care as much about the organizational structure, although it can be additive. It can bring value. It can help us to do things. But no organizational structure can override the power, the strength, the dedication of the individuals who make up that organization. And that's under discussion right now, too. And I don't think we have people who don't love SIU, who don't want to do good things for that institution. So you're going to see a pretty heavy duty discussion that we're in the midst of right now about what what is the picture for that institution going forward?
You know, what I find interesting is how you conduct yourself now and how SIU is portrayed and how it goes forward impacts somebody who graduated 5, 4, 6, 10 years
absolutely.
Ago.
Absolutely.
And I didn't know this. I really swear to God, I didn't know this. That people who have that that diploma from SIU, that the value of that goes up and down like the stock market based on the current way that the university is viewed.
Yes, absolutely.
I had no clue that that was a stock.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, that, you know, that may be, I don't know if I want to say overstated, but it's, you know, it's not the case that there are huge peaks and valleys. But I do think you are right.
And
we're experiencing that right now.
You got an SIU diploma on your wall in your office.
Right.
And up on your screen is a pooper story.
That's right.
You look at the diploma a different way afterwards,
that's right.
Don't you? And so do the other people. Now, granted, a little overstated, but still that there's a value placed on this,
yes.
and that it can go up and down based on how the university's doing now. And what I find interesting about this is we can talk about football and basketball and how it wins, but SIU in the because there's a new ranking just came out yesterday, top 500 universities, SIU's in it.
Right.
SIUENC. And so you're ranked there.
Yes.
You've got U.S. News & World Report does a ranking
right.
every year. I mean, you
everybody does
go down,
a ranking.
Everybody does a ranking, and you want to see yourself up there, and you do because you value that diploma.
Well, as my wife says quite frequently, she said, you've got to go out and do the best work you can for the university because I have 3 degrees from there. And she hangs those on the wall, and those mean a great deal to me, as she continuously reminds me. And this is true for the tens of thousands of living alumni, for all of SIU across the nation and around the world. And I think many of us understand that responsibility. As you say, it is something where we all share in the glory, if I can put it that way, of the university. And it should cause all of us to be going in every day, like I try to do myself, to do our best work for that institution. A lot of people attach a great part of their own meaning, their own lives, to what happens at that place. And I think to the extent that we can get more and more of our people to understand that, it does nothing but grow the institution and help us in decision-making as we enter into some of this stuff that we're into right now to decide what this place looks like for the next couple of generations.
And here's the thing. That value is not one singular reorganization.
No, heavens no.
All right?
Heavens
I mean,
no.
I can see you juggling about 4 or 5 balls, right, in different colors, and let's assign values to each one of those balls. Okay, we got reorganization, but we also have a conversation going on about free speech and
absolutely.
Free speech zones at SIUE,
absolutely.
The way the SIU University is viewed.
Yes.
You know, and one of the things that I get the biggest enjoyment, me, pride.
Yes.
I call it enjoyment, it's pride.
Got it.
Is SIU research.
Yes.
That science that goes on and growing new ideas and new applications and having an effect on people. And you know, if there was something that would drive the value of a diploma, I think it should be that.
Absolutely.
If I get my
absolutely.
Pick, right?
Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. And this is a big part of the operation that takes place really across SIU, but certainly at SIU Carbondale, that I think the chancellor is also looking as he works on the plan, his so-called straw man that he has out there that's under review and comment right now, looking for a way to really bring some parties together to build on that research base as well. Because right now, everything that's taking place in research, in discovery, in innovation, is taking place across disciplines. It's not all the individuals in a certain department or in a certain discipline sitting together. It really is the case that the action, the funding, if you will, that's happening is when you bring people from a variety of disciplines together, get them working in integrated ways. That's where you have success. That's where you have great ideas. As I mentioned, that's where you get funding. And I know that part of what he wants to see happen about however reorganization ends up on the campus is to ensure that we're fanning the embers of that work that continues to take place for the future, because it's a big part of the business at SIU Carbondale. We can't lose it.
Do you see the stories about U of I and the money coming in from alum and gifts and go, wow?
Yeah.
I mean, I do.
I've been saying wow a lot,
Randy.
Just to give you a sense of the magnitude, that most recent gift that they had within the last week, $150 million.
From one person.
Yes, from one person, comes close to the total endowment at SIU Carbondale. I mean, that's the magnitude of what we're talking about. And as you've mentioned, that hasn't been the only one sitting out there.
Right. I think they've got an alumni drive going on right now, I think.
At U of I?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. They just announced a couple of weeks ago. I can't remember the goal. I think it was $2.4 billion
with a B or something. It was something that I wrote
something
the note
and I went,
no, strike the M and put the B in there.
Yeah, and eventually they'll get there. I mean, the question may be how long they keep that campaign open to get it reached, but they will eventually get there. But in one sense, that does give listeners a way to comprehend the difference in scope and magnitude of the two university systems. They really are quite different.
What, only U of I is one of two universities that saw their enrollment increase in the state of Illinois, I think?
Yeah, Illinois, UIUC, and I think UI Chicago went up, as did Illinois State. Everybody else was struggling to hold their own, or obviously law students.
Okay. Because we're running out of time, and I got to throw this at you.
Yes.
Because this has been bothering the hell out of me. And I just want to, it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with SIU, but it does. At the same time, you'll get it. We do a job fair in Marion at the Pavilion.
Right.
Hundreds of jobs available.
Right.
Now, granted, not necessarily a college degree, but some of it is.
Sure. You
got to have a bachelor's or something along that line. That's not uncommon.
Right.
And nobody shows up. Now, I'm not saying nobody shows up. But this is, and John Odie and I, Illinois Department of Employment Security Director Mays, we have jobs and nobody to take them.
Yes.
Now, when I first saw this was actually when Walter Wendler was the chancellor, and you had student jobs and no one to take them, and money and income for them to be paid.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on? Well, I mean, with your experience in higher education and all your years of experience, have the people left? Did the people who wanted jobs, have they left? Had they gone somewhere else? Because you remember when there weren't jobs. So
right.
They leave, and now we have jobs anywhere from $10 to $43 an hour, and nobody shows up to take them.
Tom, this is a whole show, and I almost hesitate to dive in the water on this thing. But I will say that I think...
I can tell from the look on your face, you know what I'm talking
about.
Oh,
I absolutely know what you're talking about. And interestingly, I had a discussion with a guy about this yesterday. We went through a period of time in this country, and it was when I was state school superintendent, when it was really at its height, where we were about universal college education, and the group that I call the do-gooders, and I'm not trying to hit on anybody or make judgments, although I guess with the term I'm maybe doing that in a way, but this is groups like Education Trust and the Gates Foundation, and there are numerous other ones around the country, went through this period where they decided everyone needed to have a college education if they were going to be successful. I'm talking about 10 years, a dozen years, 15 years ago. And we actually started down this path. And a great many jobs in this country do not require a college education. And you have a tremendous mismatch of young men and women to life plans because they think they have to get a full college degree, and then not building a pool of skilled workers, maybe out of apprenticeship programs, certification programs, things of that nature. And we've got now, to some degree, I think, a mismatch or misbalance. So a lot of the discussion that you hear taking place in the policy circles right now is to do a better job of matching up post-secondary preparation for the jobs that are out there. And one of the challenges we have is getting a good read on what those jobs are over the next 10 to dozen years. And there are places doing this. Jeff Mays is actually a friend. We worked together back when I was in state service. Have a lot of respect for him. His agency can help do this, along with Department of Labor. There are private organizations, one known as Burning Tree, to try to get a sense of what the jobs are, what the preparation is, and then get some pre-college counseling to get that match being done. And if we can get that figured out over the coming years with policy and focusing on where we fund programs and things of that nature, it will be a good thing. Again, you opened the can of worms, and I know we're running out of time.
We are, but you
hear a lot of discussion now around free community college in some of the states. We haven't gone there here in Illinois, but free community college in a lot of the states around the country is a real push. I don't even know that that's a wise use of tax resources. You have many families that can afford to pay for community college if that's what their students want to do. So you're subsidizing families that don't need it. And then you're providing a full 2 years for an associate's degree for students who may not need that and can do, again, preparation for a great career with a variety of other types of programs.
Certifications.
So like most things in life, here's another life rule we probably both share, Tom. Everyone wants to go to the simplistic answer. These big problems don't lend themselves to those simplistic
answers. No, they don't.
They never do.
The problems of Illinois will not fit on a bumper
sticker
slogan.
That's exactly right.
Which is one of the reasons why I enjoy spending 15, 20 minutes with you
We always have fun on that.
Because we do. Because this, this is a deal. You know, if we don't have, I actually talked to a person who's closing their business one day a week because they don't have enough employees.
Isn't that something?
And said, we'd love to be open. And our customers are mad that we're not. But I'm getting older, and I can't find anybody who wants to work. That was their term, wants to work. So
I hate to even go here, but I don't think in Southern Illinois and many other region in the country, we can discount some of the socioeconomic problems in terms of people who would see those jobs as entry level positions, get in, they have good wages attached, but because of opioid crisis and some other things going on, We're losing some of that work base, labor force, and we've got to figure out a way to get that addressed too.
So I'm sitting at a guy who owns a restaurant. I said, "Man, you're going to work all how long can you keep doing this?" He says, "I just put an ad in the newspaper." And while I'm sitting there having a sandwich with him, they're coming and giving him their reservation, and they're shaking. They don't have shirts on. They got obscenities tattooed on their fingers.
Talk to these small business owners. Talk to small manufacturing's concerns. These millwright places, welding shops, trucking companies, the biggest problem they have is getting those employees who would take those positions as good, well-paying jobs, entry-level positions where you lead up, they can't pass a drug test.
Right. A friend of mine does drywall painting.
Yep.
I hired about three guys because they had a big job. He says, they're on meth, and I knew it.
Yep.
He says, they worked their ass off the first 3 days, and then I never saw them again.
Yep, got to figure it out.
And that's not it's point blank, and he was not smiling when he told that. That was not a punchline.
I know.
Randy, as always, good to see you.
Thanks, Tom.
Love hearing your mind here.